This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد My brothers and sisters, as I talk to you today, there is a war happening in Ukraine, which has completely captured the attention of the world, and everybody is focused on it, and it seems almost as if this is the first time that war is happening. But we know that there has been a war happening and going on in Yemen for the last 5 years, which a UN estimate is that it's killed over probably 400,000 people. And all of these estimates are estimates, they are not actual counts. And the actual count is more than likely much bigger than that. Yet, nobody talks about that war because, may Allah protect us from ourselves, that war, the people getting killed there are brown people and they are not white people, they don't have blonde hair and blue eyes, and so their lives seem to be of less value than the lives of blonde hair and blue-eyed people. In Islam, the ayat of Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that if one single individual, and Allah did not say blonde eyes, blue eyes, black color, white color, or anything, if one single individual, one human being, not Allah didn't even say Muslim or not Muslim, anybody, if one single human being is killed unjustly, it is like the killing of all of humankind. And if the life of one individual is saved, it is like saving the lives of all of humankind. Now, this is the standard of Islam. Islam is not just non-racist, Islam is anti-racist. There is not only, in Islam, not only is there a positive value of not being racist, but there is a negative value of being racist, meaning that if you are racist, then you attract the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The very first sin and crime committed was by Iblis, by Shaitan, where he refused to make sajda to Adam alayhi salam and refused to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this, his excuse was an excuse which today, if you look at it in that context, it's an excuse of racism. He said, "Khalaqtani min nar wa khalaqtahu min teen." He said, "I have been created. You created me from fire, and you created him, yani Adam alayhi salam, from clay." So he's saying, "My race is superior to his race." And now this is a statement of racism. So therefore, it's something that Islam has condemned from the word go. But this happened. Now, the point I'm making here is that all of this big war which is happening, if you take that war, now Putin is the guy who is the puppet master for that. But obviously, he's not the only one implicated. Similarly, there are others in the war in Yemen and so on. The point being that if you think about it, all of these people, whether it's Putin or whether it is Narendra Modi or Donald Trump or Nelson Mandela or Mother Teresa or whoever, Abdul Sattar Idi, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, anybody, there was a time when they were children. There was a time when they were little boys, little girls, when they were children. And they wrote their script, and their parents wrote their script, and they added to that script. And what the world is facing today is decisions being taken by those children, right? But those decisions are being taken today, so the children are not children anymore. But at one point, they were children. So it bears thinking about and asking ourselves, what if these children had been raised differently? What if these children had been raised to respect other people, to be compassionate, not to just chase money and power at any cost? What if these people were raised in a way where they felt responsible for themselves, where they knew that they are accountable before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from whom nothing is hidden. This is the whole issue of rearing a child. So when you are raising children, don't just look at the child and say, oh, well, you know, my little boy, my little girl, who is 5 years old, 4 years old, 3 years old, whatever. No, you are looking at a future global leader. No matter what position they are in, they are future global leaders. Some may make it to leading countries, some others may become founders of empires, but others may raise their own children. So all that they may do in their life, for example, is to be a good mother and a good father. And believe me, that is probably the most important role and responsibility that they could probably fulfill. And I would say it's far, far more important than running a country, because this is the lives of people. And so the thing here is, if you look at the world today, I don't think there's a single human being anywhere in the world who's satisfied and happy with the way the world is running, except the actual criminals who are creating this veil of misery that we are faced with. But all ordinary people, are all of them, every single one of them, anywhere in the world, is dissatisfied to some degree with how the world is being run. I'm not talking about, you know, momentary happiness with something. Alhamdulillah, people who are connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they always make shukr. But the fact is that there are problems. And these problems, all of them, these have not come out of the blue. They haven't come from Krypton or something with a Superman. These are problems that we have created for ourselves. It is these hands which created the problems. And because of this, we are the ones who are suffering. There's no third party, there's no somebody else who's suffering. We are suffering. And because we are, and therefore, this is the good news, is that since the problems that we created are our own problems and we are suffering, so therefore we can also create their solutions. We can create solutions to those problems which will save us from that suffering. I think this is something which is extremely important for us to keep in mind, so that we don't get, so that we don't lose sight of the critical importance of this job of raising good children, who will be a credit to us and a sadaqatul jariyah for us. Now, life is full of decisions, and therefore there is seldom a time in our lives when we aren't grappling with one tough decision or another. Now, whether it's related to work or family or to any one of the countless other aspects of life, we constantly find ourselves asking questions like, should I or shouldn't I, or should I go in this direction or that direction? We go back and forth between what seems to be equally good opportunities. And sometimes this is even more confusing, because to choose between two opportunities, one of them is clearly good, the other one is clearly bad, is not difficult. I mean, this is easy. But two apparently equally good opportunities. I remember when I first went into, when I first decided to be an entrepreneur and went into independent consulting, it was 1994. Literally, I mean, I started my company, and 1994 was, financially speaking, a very, very difficult year, because I had no business. I was still trying to, struggling very hard to make ends meet. There were months when maybe 2-3 days before the rent was due on our apartment, we didn't have the money to pay the rent. But alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala is the one to always help. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always ensured that we never defaulted on the rent. Allah gave us the money to pay the rent on time. But that we lived with that anxiety. Will it happen? Will it not happen? Now, through all of that, and at that time, when I was in the middle of this anxiety, I did an assignment for a company which had newly come into India. This was in Bangalore in India. So there was this Swedish head for a cell phone company which had recently come in. And that Swedish head, he liked me and he liked my work so much that he offered me a job. He said, why don't you be the head of Vice President Human Resources for our company? And what he offered me in pay was absolutely astronomical from in those in terms of the salaries of those days. It was very, very, it was like a, if he had given me a blank sheet of paper and said, write down your, you write a number, I would not have written what he was offering me. So now I had this dilemma. I am just starting out as an entrepreneur. So it's a good choice, alhamdulillah. I'm happy about that. But at the same time, I'm getting a job now in a corporate organization, which on the face of it will take away all this anxiety of, you know, house rent and whatnot. And the job came with a house and it came with a car and blah, blah. Now, it was therefore a very tough decision for me because I was choosing between two good options. One option was to continue to be an entrepreneur, and the second option was to become, to go back into the corporate world, but to a very nice job. Needless to say, I continued. I mean, at the end of that, I did take a decision, and I thanked him and I said, I'm sorry, but I will not take. He was very happy. He told me, you know, he said, you know, I respect you because you have shown that you have the grit and the gumption to stay with what you have decided. And he said, I'm sure that this will be something which is which will be very beneficial for you. So this is something that we have all the time. Is it good? Is it not good? What shall I do? So between two good options is always difficult to judge. We also live in a world where access to information is ever easier and faster and more comprehensive. Our smartphones today are the substitute for a phone, for a computer, for a radio, for a television, for, you know, for everything except except person face-to-face contact. Even that with video conferencing, with chats, you know, video calls. There was a time when you had to do a video call, you had to go into a special studio and whatnot. Today you do it on your phone. So it has become very lots of data. As a matter of fact, it's compulsive, it is addictive, and it's very intrusive. What this information and data does to us. There's a huge penetration of technology, which has made life easy and far more complex, very complex. We are deluged with information on a daily basis. But the result is, for most people, they are left bewildered and they are unable to make sense of what they are seeing or reading. The result is a society that's, for the most part, ill-informed, very, very ill-informed. If one is to translate information as understanding, most people simply do not have the tools to make sense of what they are presented with. It's therefore necessary, very necessary, for parents to equip their children with these tools. And I believe there are two tools which are critical to this process. And one is, and that process is integrity and a focus. These are the two tools, integrity and focus, on creating a legacy. Now let's look at integrity. I define integrity as the willingness to become a standard bearer for your beliefs and values, to be willing to be held accountable for them, and to have the confidence that you will not be found lacking when you are called to account. Now, integrity is the honesty to be true to yourself, to have complete congruence between belief and thought and word and action. Now, this is very, it's easy to say, it's very difficult. We believe something, we think, and the thought sometimes now changes, and we still claim to hold the same belief, but when we are talking now, you are talking in a different way. Either you have softened or you hardened or something, or you changed completely, and then of course action is even more complex. Now, to live what you believe, so first of all is congruence between belief and thought and word and action, and then to live what you believe in and value. This is integrity. To do that, the walk and the talk must be the same. The finest example of this is the life of Rasulullah, where Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, she said that he was the walking Quran. So here is the Quran, which is the belief, and here is the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is a reflection of this belief. So in the Quran, if I take anything in the Quran and I say, well, how is it to be applied? What does it look like when it's being applied? I have to go no further than the seerah, the biography and the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is the meaning of integrity. So I define integrity to something where I say it's something which defines and answers this question: what do I want to be remembered for? So the integrity is the ability to look at yourself in the face and accept your mistakes and not make excuses. It's the willingness to accept responsibility for your words and actions and their consequences, and to make amends if those are consequences are undesirable. The second criterion for decision making is to differentiate between short term and long term, and to visualize what the long term effects of present decisions are likely to be. Now, this is very important, because many times, in the interest of urgency, of expediency, of all kinds of reasons we give ourselves, we take negative and we take very short-sighted, short-term decisions, and then we feel very surprised when the long-term results are bad. Take today, if you look globally, if you look at it, take the issue of, for example, global warming. Take the issue of garbage, of how garbage is disposed and so on. Take the issues of trees, of environmental degradation. All of these are the results of bad short-term decisions. They resulted in very, very evil long-term decisions. But those bad decisions short-term, they were not bad by themselves, because they were taken because they seemed to be good. They seem to be more convenient and easier and so on. But whatever is easy is not necessarily the best thing to do. And that's very difficult to actually practice. As Muslims, we need to remember that one day we will be called to account before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everybody will be called to account, but except that we accept it and we claim to accept it. And therefore, we need to be clear about what we choose to do and what we choose not to do. So children must be taught to analyze their options in terms of their potential consequences. And while we have no knowledge of the unseen or the future, a good analysis can help us to see possible scenarios and to decide intelligently between them. When this is done, it is essential to focus on the long term and not do things which may seem beneficial immediately, but are likely to have negative consequences in the long run. One of the big places where this shows up very clearly and painfully is in the area of marriage. People get married for all the wrong reasons, all the wrong short-term reasons, and then they pay for it for the rest of their lives, or for as long as that marriage lasts. Completely unnecessary. It could have been done, the marriage could have been done or not done, with a little more thoughtfulness, and it would have benefited everybody, but that thoughtfulness doesn't come. Almost every national or international problem that we face today is a result of making short-sighted decisions for short-term gain, easily avoidable if only the focus of decision-making had been to create a legacy of honor. And that is what we need to keep in mind and say, what is my legacy? What am I leaving behind when I go? Right? Very important area to focus on, and I don't need to really emphasize it for Muslims, which is to connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is Tawheed and Ubudiyah. Tawheed is the belief, and Ubudiyah is the manifestation of that belief. So Muslim children must be taught to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They must be introduced to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to His glory, to His majesty, to His accounting on the Day of Judgment, to the duty that we owe to Him, to be grateful for all that He has given us, and to judge ourselves by integrity with which we fulfill this duty. They must grow up with a profound sense of ubudiyat, of being a slave of Allah, of being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of worshipping only and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They must have profound sense of being Abdullah and Amatullah, whose only purpose in life is to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely in everything that they say or do. Muslim children must grow up hearing the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the recitation of His word in all its power and glory and majesty. They must grow up hearing the name of His messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the stories of His life. Muslim children must grow up with the confidence in their deen, of being proud of their deen, of being confident in their deen, of being confident of their identity as Muslims, with pride in, of being Muslims, with their hearts beating for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and with the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a sense of belonging to the global brotherhood of Islam, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's very, very important. Sometimes these seem to be small things, but they're not. My Shaykh is to say, talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala your story. Right? Just talk to Him in your own language. And talk to Him in your own way. Say, Ya Allah, I'm... Like, for example, if you're going to the masjid, say, Ya Allah, I am going to the masjid to pray. Allah knows this. Allah is seeing you doing that. But this is your contribution and your connection with Him. You say, Ya Allah, I'm going to the masjid to pray. Please help me to pray in a way that you love that prayer. Help me to pray in a way that you like. Right? Make my prayer full of sincerity, full of ikhlas. Make my prayer such that you will be pleased with that prayer. But that's why I'm praying. Why am I praying? I'm praying because I want my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu to be pleased with me. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His help. Say, Ya Allah, please save me from shaitan. Save me from all sorts of distractions and influences of shaitan. Similarly, going to school, say, Oh Allah, hope, make this day the best school day of my life. Open my heart to knowledge, make it easy, make my mind, give me the intelligence to easily understand what is being taught, to retain it in my mind, to understand it, to be able to contribute positively in the class. Talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My Shaykh used to say that, we complain about society. We say, our society is so bad and this and that. And there is this sin everywhere and whatnot. And then we commit sins. So we fall into sins. We do things which are haram. We know it is wrong, but we still do it. Right? For whatever reason, we give ourselves all kinds of excuses. Oh, this happened, that happened. So my Shaykh used to say, now, if you go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so what happened? Why did you do that? You say, Allah, what can I do? This society was so bad and it was so poisonous and toxic and blah blah whatnot. And I tried my best, but I committed this sin, that sin, whatnot. You know why you committed this sin and so forth. We know also that many times we commit a sin deliberately, knowing it is wrong. But anyway, you are making this excuse to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My Shaykh is to say, then supposing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, okay, so all of this, what you said, if this is the case, did you ask me for my help? Did you ask me for my help? When you were leaving your house, did you say, Oh Allah, I am going into a world which is full of fitna, which is full of haram. Please guard my eyes so that I do not see anything haram. Hide it from me. Right? Hide it from me. I should not even be put in a position where am I lowering my eyes or not? Am I looking down? No. Just hide it. Let me not see anything haram. Let me not hear anything haram. Oh Allah, help me that I never speak any lies, that I speak only the truth, that I speak with adab, that I speak with concern. Help me, give me opportunities to show concern for others. Let give me opportunities to help others. Do we make this dua? Did we make this dua? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, did you make this dua? Did you ask me for my help in this bad, so-called bad society that you're going into? What is the answer? Do we do that? Do we do that? We have to ask this. When we leave the house, Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. I begin in the name of Allah, I have tawakkal on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and only Allah can do everything. We have to ask, we have to build and help our children to build a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I've told this story many times, and may Allah bless those people. I have lost contact with them, wherever they are, may Allah bless them. I recall this so vividly. There was this friend of ours who was a friend, meaning, if I knew him that well, I would not have lost contact, but this is a helpful gentleman. So he was taking us, me and my friend, from point A to point B in New York. And we were driving, and his little son, who was about 5 years old, he was in the car. So at one point, before we came to a particular exit, this little boy said, he asked his father, he said, Baba, did Allah put in your heart? So I was very surprised. I said, did Allah put what in your heart? His father says, we have brought them up, my children, he says, this boy and others, his other siblings, he said, we have brought them up, my wife and I, to ask Allah for anything they want. So anything he like, if he wants a chocolate, he will ask his mom, his mom will say, ask Allah. If Allah puts in my heart, I will give you. So to the extent that the little fellow would go and put his musalla and he would sit on the musalla and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please make my mother give me chocolate. Now this might seem funny, but the thing is, this is how at a very early age, this consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their lives is inculcated. So on that day, the father said, I knew I was going to pick you up and take you. So this little fellow, he has a friend who lives in a town which we are passing, or we are going to pass. So he said, can I come and go to my friend's house? So I said to him, you can come in the car, make dua. If Allah puts in my heart, then I will take the exit and drop you and pick you up on the way back. Or if Allah does not put in my heart, then just come along for the night. So he's asking me now, because he knows where the exit is. So he's asking me now, did Allah put in my heart? So I asked him, Jason, did Allah put in your eyes? Yes, alhamdulillah. Now the point is that this is how you get them connected. So the day will come when he will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why my Shaykh used to say that even in the midst of the fitna, Allah will keep you clean. In the midst of all the turmoil that is happening, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you. In the midst of difficulties, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you ease. If you keep asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because ease and difficulty is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not because of circumstances. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of the circumstances. So my Shaykh used to say, okay, it will happen. Things will be happening. There will be difficulties, things will be happening. Negative things will be happening to others, but they won't happen to you. Right? Like it's like saying you are going in a bad environment, they say it, city center in the middle of the night or something, and we know that in this place, in that situation, people get mugged and robbed and so on, but you will not be mugged. You will be protected because you are connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are asking for Allah's protection. Ya Allah, help me, Ya Allah, help me, Ya Allah, help me, Ya Allah, I am in this bad place, please help me. So it's very important to keep on asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, we inculcate the love of Allah, the glory and magnificence of Allah in the hearts of our children in two ways. One is through the recitation of Quran, through specific focus on the ayat of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described himself. And no one can describe Allah like he described himself. So read those ayat, let them read those ayat, reflect on those ayat. And say that, ask them, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, how does this come across to you, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he huwa al-malik, Allah is the king, Allah is the ruler. Now, how does that manifest in your life? Do you feel that Allah is the ruler? How do you feel Allah is the ruler? If I truly feel that Allah is the ruler, then I cannot commit anything which Allah does not like, right? So this is a protection. When we feel the glory and magnificence of Allah in our lives, we cannot do anything which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like. Today we live in a world which is so full of, it's not just full of sin and wrongdoing, but in many cases, sins and wrongdoing is committed with full and total confidence. And those who stand for the truth are the ones who are running fearfully, right? Who are worried. Whereas in reality, it should have been the opposite. People who are doing good should have had the confidence, and people who are doing evil should have been running scared. Today it's the opposite. Today people who are indulging in evil are doing it openly, without absolutely, there is no shame, there is no haya, there's nothing. There are absolutely no problem. This is our right. How can it be your right to commit sin? But this is the world we are living in. So now, if you want your children to have the right tarbiyah, if you want your children to be protected from such an environment, then you have to inculcate in them the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. the confidence in Allah, the confidence in the power of Allah, that nobody can have except Allah, unless Allah wills, and nobody can benefit except Allah wills. La nafi' wa la dharra illallah. La ilaha illallah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This is the confidence. If you don't create that confidence, then the children will run. They will run away from goodness into evil. And they will be afraid to express themselves in a way that is to be done. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to raise children like that. And for that, connect them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Wa assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.